like Kenny, who have answered the call, Lord, who have heard your voice, and Lord, have responded, and Lord, here I am, send me. And I pray, Father, right now, as he prepares himself to teach us about continuing to fight on and to fight that good fight of faith. Lord, we pray your anointing upon him. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would come and move upon him and through him, that you would touch our hearts, that you would change our lives, that you would challenge us, Lord, to be men and women of God that truly answer the call of God in our lives. Father, anoint him and bless him during this time. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. All right, can everybody hear me out there? Yeah, about that tablet, that's become my wife's second best friend. The other day, it actually went blank. The screen went black and everything. And she was not concerned, which concerned me. I'm like, you'd think you'd be more concerned. Your tablet's just shut off. It won't come back on. I feverishly went onto my iPad, looked up the problem, and I was able to restore her tablet. But I still wondered, why wasn't she not upset? She takes this thing everywhere, as Pastor Don mentioned. She was not upset. She was at a peace that passes all understanding, Roger, because she said that I would have to buy her another one that day. She was not worried about it. That's why I feverishly went on my iPad to try to fix this one. Well, good morning. As Pastor John said, he's been talking about accepting the call. That's been going on since the beginning of the year. And when he asked me to speak, I was actually relieved because he had mentioned that last week we had a wedding that we all went to, a lot of us. He had asked, he says, oh, by the way, I meant to call you. I says, you did? I said, pertaining to what? Well, I was going to have you teach tomorrow. Here it is, 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. And I'm like, I'm not accepting that call. I said, a little bit more time would be nice. He says, well, then I understood that you were being, you know, going to be at the wedding and whatnot. And so I figured I'd let you off the hook and give you a week. So after a week, I accepted the call, right? And during that week, I've been looking at the topics that he spoke on and that Pastor Don spoke on and John spoke on. I begin to, in my mind, cast lots. And I'm looking out here, and I'm asking myself, who has not accepted the call yet? We need to be moving forward. We need to be moving on. And somebody here is holding this up. Somebody here still, after all these weeks and months, has not accepted the call. So being, you know, that I have a tendency to move into prophetic at times, right? I hope nobody here feels nervous, right? I just need to walk down the aisle a little bit this way and that way, because somebody here has not accepted the call yet. I'm waiting for somebody to volunteer. Point somebody out, eh, Pastor Don? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ma'am? Are you willing to take this call? For 20 years. She's blessed. The other thing that came to mind was back in the day when somebody got into a little bit of a jam or whatnot and they didn't have the change for a phone, or, you know, if you were in my family, you ended up in jail and you had to make a call, but you didn't have the money, you'd have to call collect. Right? Anybody remember that? You'd be able to hear the phone ring. You'd pick it up, and the operator would be on there and say, this is a collect call from, do you accept? And being in my family, I'd hang the phone up, wrong number. Because that meant I had to come up with bail money for my brother. You know, I had to go down there in the middle of the night. You know, and then the officers are all looking at me like I'm part of this crime family. I'm like, no, I'm the good one. You know, can you keep them in there a little longer? But that's just it. God is calling. He's calling collect. He's asking you, are you going to turn around and accept the call? So my question is, what is he calling to collect on? Because he's calling each and every one of us. It wasn't just one individual. It wasn't just my wife, even though we all like to hope that it was her. But he's calling each and every one of us. He's calling us to what? To accept his call, right? He's calling us to accept his call to fight the good fight. The fight that he begun, right? He begun in a way when he came down here on earth. right? Through the Holy Spirit. He ministered on this earth. Ministered, gathered up 12 people that accepted the call. Those first 12 dropped everything. They dropped everything. They left everything behind to accept that call. What have we forsaken to accept his call? I had a hard enough time trying to get my son to forsake some sleep to get here to listen to me. He says, I hear you all the time, Dad. He says, what do I need to be there on time for? Right, Shane? I told you I'd call you out. There's a few other people I said I'd call out to, and some I didn't mention yet. So we're here to accept his call. So my question would be, what's the call for you? You're not one of those that's sitting in the pew saying, well, who's he talking to? Who's he talking about? Who here needs to accept that call? It was me. I needed to accept his call. And that call for me was to fight the good fight. Now, is it that I wasn't fighting the good fight? I'd like to think that I was fighting the good fight. Doesn't everybody want to think that they're fighting the good fight? No? Let me ask you something. Do you feel that the world's getting the better of you? Anytime? Some days? Some days the world seems to be getting the better of you? Now, if you're like me, do you feel like your flesh is getting the better of you? Some days your flesh just wants to rise up. Thank God I'm married. My wife likes to crucify it. You know, she's accepted her call for 20 years now. And she likes to crucify my flesh. She did so today by printing my notes out so fine that I need a magnifying glass to see them. Thank you, dear. She likes to see me humbled. Pastor John, back in the beginning, he talked about accepting the call and how the Holy Spirit helps us. There's a class going on Sunday mornings. John's doing a fabulous job. Thanks, John. I appreciate that. He does all the work, and I'm there, like I tell him. So I'm here for when you drop the ball to pick it up and give it back to you. I've accepted my call when it comes to working with John. It's a tough job, but, well, Nancy, you do it most of the time. You know how tough it is. Pastor Don talked about forfeiting the call. Anybody here forfeiting the call? Careful how you answer that. Because we might not forfeit what we think to be the big call. What about the call that he's calling us to do right now in front of us? What about the call to pursue something that we need to be pursuing? What about the call to flee something that we need to be fleeing? Right? There's something. He doesn't go on for 3 months asking us to accept the call. We have to put ourselves in a place to listen, to hear. Then not only hear, but we have to be able to recognize who it is that's trying to speak to us. He's been trying to speak to me for these last 3 months. I'm reminded of Samuel. Samuel and Eli. And Samuel was a young boy, right? He was going to be Eli's protege there. And one night he turned around and the Lord spoke to him. Samuel. He goes running to Eli. You guys remember the story? He goes running to Eli. Eli, did you call? I didn't call you. He goes back to sleep. There again. There's the Lord calling him. He goes running to Eli. Eli said, I didn't call you. 3 times this went on. Samuel hadn't really developed his relationship with the Lord. Right? After the third time of waking Eli up, if you're like me, it's like, listen, the Lord's trying to call you. So next time he calls, if he calls, answer, Lord, here I am, your servant. Speak. That's exactly what he did. Now, this young boy, how'd you like to accept the call that he had? The first one, God speaks to him, and the message that he gives him is that the prophecy that Eli himself would die, Eli's sons would die, because of them forsaking their call, forfeiting their call to be the priest of God. So he has this message from God. Eli, the next morning, says, okay, so what happened? Tell me everything. Don't you hide anything, boy. And he was afraid. He was afraid to accept that call of saying, okay, here's what God's going to do. How many here are afraid? It's that number. All right, we're back in business. All right, where was I? Okay, we're done. That was quick. Accepting God's call, right? Let's start out here. It says, accepting his call because God provides the strength. Now, is this something we can do in and of ourselves? Absolutely not. We need God to be able to accept his call. We need God to be able to fight the fight. He fights for us. He has been fighting for us. He's been interceding for us. He continues to fight for us. He will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. As we sung in that song, his love never fails. You can run, but you're not lost. He knows exactly where you are. Right? It says, I'm lost without you. Yes, we're lost without him, but he hasn't lost us. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly where we're at in our walk. Right? I was thinking of Job at that time. Job, he started running. He didn't want to turn around and accept his call to the Ninevites to preach to them repentance. He was concerned that they would repent and that they would turn from their sin and follow after God. And that song even talks about the waves and the sea, and Job got thrown overboard. And the depth of that call and forfeiting that took him down to the depths of the sea and to the darkness. And one would think that there's no hope in the midst of that. But it's God's love that never fails, because God loved him. And it's God that turned around and restored him and saved him and brought him safely to the shores so that he can turn around and accept his call and have that opportunity to man up, to do what it is that God asked him to do. That wasn't just for the Ninevites' sake, but it was for his sake. And that's just it. It's for our sake that we need to accept the call. It's for his sake. He's the victor. Accepting the call by being an overcomer. Right, John? Accepting the call, the times and seasons of our lives. And that went on for 3 weeks. A lot of seasons. We only got one in Michigan. It's called winter. Winter, and sometimes we have construction, right? And then accepting the call, his grace is sufficient. It's through his grace that we're able to accept the call. It's through him that he first called us. And he continues to call us. He continues to call us to the fight. And I was thinking about that, because one of the things that's come to my mind in these last 3 months is that we all have this hope that the fight is going to be a little 5-round fight. It's over. Now we get to relax. And that's it. Man, that was tough. But it's not like that. It's a war, they say in the scripture. It's warfare. And it's a warfare that doesn't end until you're called home. So it's not even a war in a sense. It's a lifelong campaign. And when you accepted the call to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right, you accepted the fact that you entered into a campaign to fight. And it was going to turn around and take your whole life fighting to turn around and get what? Fighting to get where? Fighting for what? Jesus fought, and he did what he did for the joy that was set before him. What was that joy that was set before him? It was us. That's what enabled him to turn around and do what he did. He seen the joy that was set before him. That's what enabled him to go to that cross and to die that brutal death. So what's the joy that we've set before us? Is that joy a new vehicle? Is it a new house? What's the joy? For me, when I get to this point and I've been thinking about it, the joy is sitting up there in the balcony, and that's my kids. I want to see them come into the same land that was promised to the Israelites. And that's the promises of God, that they become God's children, that they become God's people. Established in that land, able to have that intimate relationship, able to show forth God's glory. I look forward to that. Lately, I've been having some discussions with Shane, him being 20 years old now, Shane. Yep.
about accepting his call, about spiritual warfare. I said, listen, we need to sit down and we need to discuss this. You need to be trained on how to fight. You need to know what it is you're fighting for, how it is you're to fight, why it is you're to fight. I've been talking to Shane. Can you hear me? And wanting to sit him down and wanting to go over the word. Because it's the word that's our sword. It's the word that's going to turn around and bring forth the power that we need. And that word works in a mysterious way. That word works in washing my mind. Right? My mind is bombarded by all kinds of things. I mean, there's just a ton of information coming at you through the TV, through the radio, through other people. I mean, information is constantly coming in my ears all the time. But it's that word that brings clarity. It's that word that brings understanding. And that's what I love about the word. It's that sword that I need to be sharpening. I don't want to go out there and take a chunk of metal and try to fight the good fight. I want to be able to have a sharp sword. I always like that movie, The Untouchables, with Sean Connery. The guy comes in there with a sharp knife to kill him. And he says, it's just like you to bring a knife to a gunfight. Right? And that's what we do a lot of times. We bring this dull piece of metal to the battlefield. And then we wonder why we didn't turn around and succeed. Because we didn't bring the right weapon. And we know that to be true because it's one of the hardest things that we have to do, and that's to get into the Word. We get into the Word on a Sunday morning like this, where the Word is taught to you, preached to you. You're able to hear it. Well, for those that ain't fallen asleep yet. Kevin? Can you give me a wave? All right, we got one up. Right? Because in the middle of the service, it seems like everybody, my wife calls it peace. A peace falls upon me. I'm like, a peace? Most people call it sleep when you're snoring. Well, we seem to get this, it's almost, and for me, I think it's almost like a lethargic spirit comes upon us. That all of a sudden we're here, but we're not able to hear what's being said. I mean, it's happened to me. Thank God they put this on CD and on the website so that I can go back to it when I'm awake. And that's what I do. I go back to it because I'm like, listen, I don't think that hunk of metal got very sharp. Kind of went in one ear and went out the other. How much really got retained? So for me, I like going into the Word. And that word being Webster's Dictionary, right? And two of the words that came up during this message about accepting the call was being deliberate and doing things on purpose, with a purpose. I can remember growing up, and one of us kids, there was five of us, one of us kids was always in trouble. So that means more than one of us was in trouble because it took two to turn around and get in trouble. And what would happen is that the other one would turn around and go run into mom or dad and say, he deliberately did this to me. He did it on purpose. And if it was me, yeah, I probably did. You know, my purpose was to antagonize my brother or sister. I can remember one time I actually hung my sister upside down by her feet on the bunk bed. Yep, talked her into it, pulled that rope. She got mad, said she's telling, so I tied the rope off and ran. I'm like, I'm already in trouble. I'm not letting her down. It'll take a little while for her to turn around and tell my mom. But I was doing things deliberately and on purpose. My question is, do we deliberately seek after God? And are we doing it on purpose? Because what do we do when we live here? Leave here. Live here. What do we do when we leave here? Have we purpose in our heart to take the word that's come forth and study it, meditate on it, chew on it, right? When I was looking this up, deliberate, it says weighing the facts and arguments with a view to a choice or decision. The things that are said are to be weighed, but it's to be weighed to make a decision. Do I or do I not accept the call? Do I fight or do I not fight? Or do I say, that was good, okay, on to the next thing. Purpose, to that which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished, the end or aim to which the view is directed in any plan, measure, or exertion. We believe the supreme being created intelligent beings for some benevolent and glorious purpose, and if so, how glorious and benevolent was his purpose and plan of redemption? We're to do things on purpose, and we're to be deliberate about it. Not nonchalant. Not with a spirit of indifference. And these are the kind of things that want to creep into our lives. Anybody here have anything that wants to creep into your life? Any kind of sin crouching, creeping at your door? I don't know about you, but it's always crouching at my door, trying to devour me, trying to have me, trying to disguise itself as something other than what it is. Right? You deserve a break today. Right? Oh, you can do that tomorrow. You don't need to do that right now. There's always tomorrow. No, there's not. There's not always tomorrow. We hope that there is, but we're to turn around and do it today while we have the time to do it. That's what God's telling me. Do it today. Fight today. I got what they called a little bit of a righteous anger. It used to be just anger. But thank God he got a hold of me and he's turned it around to a little bit of righteous anger. And I was getting upset that the enemy was having a heyday with the saints. He was having a heyday with me, but, you know, we kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, I can fight that fight. But when he starts targeting and picking on the people that you love, the people that God loves, well, that just gets me upset. If I can't fight for myself and get to a place of maturity, how am I ever going to fight for somebody else? Or is it all about me? How am I going to fight for them kids up there? Because I want what I want? Because I don't want to see past today? I don't want to see into the future? We talked this morning about eternity. To do things deliberately and on purpose, not just based on the here and now, what we have in front of us, but for eternity. There were many saints that did things. Moses, for one, did everything that he did for Israel and never got to see the promised land. But he, being up in heaven, can see exactly what that entailed. Abraham, did he get to see all the children of God? God said they would be as numerous as the sand. Did he get to see that? Did he truly envision that? Did he truly realize what it is that he was called to? I believe he did. I believe he did. He was willing to sacrifice Isaac. He trusted God to bring about that God said he would bring about. Do we trust God? And looking at this fight, right, you got to have courage, bravery, the quality of the mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with a firmness and without fear, depression of spirits. Talks about having valor. Valor, right? Strength of mind in regard to danger. The quality which enables a man to encounter danger with firmness. You think of these words, courage and valor. And I look at myself, I say, well, do I have courage? Do I have valor? I mean, these are characteristics that God desires for me to have. He talked to Joshua and he said, Joshua, you need to be strong and courageous. Why is it that Joshua needed to be strong and courageous? Because he was called. He answered the call. He got up early every day and he spent time with God. He wasn't worried about overcoming a little bit of sleep. He wasn't worried about his flesh. He was worried about doing what? Pleasing God. And that's what the enemy robs from us. He robs us from the ability that we can please God by doing what it is that God's asked us to do, by being obedient, by being who it is he's called us to be, and that's his children. He called us to be his children even when we were messed up, sinners. He didn't call or wait, well, I'll call you when you got it together, Rick. You know when that's going to be? When you get to the other side of this world, in heaven. That's when you're going to finally have it together. But for now, you need to fight. What are we fighting for? Look around. What are you fighting for? Look in these pews. Where do you see the victory? Where do you see the joy? Where is it? People come in here, their heads held so low because they don't know their God. They don't know Jesus Christ, who conquered the grave, swallowed up death, and guaranteed that I would do that. I too will conquer the grave and swallow up death. I will. Why? Because he lives and dwells within me. I accepted the call. I accepted him as my Lord. I accepted the Holy Spirit. And I allow the Holy Spirit to humble me. I make mistakes every day. If you don't know that, ask my wife, ask Dave, ask Tyler. The people that spend the most time with me know that I am a sinner. But they also know I'm a sinner saved by grace. And that Christ is not through with me. And I'm not through with Christ. It wasn't him that failed. It was me that quit, as Bobby said yesterday. You don't fail until you quit. Obviously, you guys haven't quit, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But if you didn't quit, then you better learn how to fight. You better know what it is you're fighting for, who you're fighting for. He led the way. He paved the path. We're called to turn around and follow after him. Are we following after him? You have to ask yourself, and I mean you have to ask yourself, are you following after him or are you following after the things of this world? Because it's the things in this world that want to entice us, that want to draw us away, want to distract us. Distract us from eternity, from the things that are going to last forever. Are we chasing after those things? I'm sure we're all guilty of chasing after those things because they look pretty good. You know how I chase after them? Oh, that would be a good tool for the kingdom. I'd be able to do so much more. I haven't even utilized what I got. Yet I'm looking for something new, something more. What about being faithful with what he's given me already? Oh, I just want more. And then we discard what we got. If we could take one little scripture and be faithful with that, and then build on the next little scripture and be faithful with that. Fight for one thing and build on that. Have the faith to fight for one thing. He's called us all to fight for one thing. And you're going to begin to build on that. John and Nancy, their son Darren, his lovely wife, they've been given a little bit of a dream, a little bit of a vision of what it is that God's wanting to do for them. And they've answered that call, but it's just the beginning of that journey for them. And John is looking for people to fight that they reach their goal, that they obtain the prize for that which which Christ died, that their lives would be lived to glorify him. How he chooses, where he chooses, when he chooses. In the meantime, they're learning to sit at Jesus' feet, learning to wash themselves in the word, learning to submit and come under authority. That's one of the hardest things that we have to do, is to submit and come under authority. Who here wants to listen to anybody else? We're all like little kids, right? We all hear that and see that. Oh, yeah, when you're a teenager, you know it all. That's what God's saying. Here, I'm the father, and you guys are all kids, and you think you know it all. He's put people in our path, in our way, to help us. To help us to understand. And God help us when we think that we know it all. Because his word says we only see in part. Each and every one of us. That's why he wants us to get 2-3 witnesses. Not just run off. Oh yeah, this is what God said to me. I'm gone. Well, if he said it to you and you're in a body, right? If he tells my hand to go open that door, then my body's got to follow. I hope. Jesus was victorious. We got to remember that. I got a song I want to cue up. I'm going to cut this a little bit short because I took up twice as much time last time. I didn't come up with 600 slides. I did have like 13 pages of notes. But there's a song that I heard recently that really just ministered to me. I hope it ministers to you. But what I'd like, this is the challenge to you. You guys can either accept the call or not. But Roger had already basically accepted the call. There was a particular song that touched him. It's called Walk With Me. And there's always a song that we end up singing. Because when we sing that song to the Lord, it's worship that ministers to us, that brings life to us, that brings that peace to us, that strengthens us, because it's life. It's Christ, right? It's living and it's active. I would ask that this week that you take the song, whatever one that God puts upon your heart, that it's ministered to you, and that you begin to listen to it. Then you begin to look a little deeper into the words that you're singing, the words that are being sung. Maybe take the Webster's Dictionary like I did and look them up. Lord, what does this mean? What's the depth of this? Because I know you're speaking it to me because it's ministering to me. What does this mean for me? That's the challenge. Just one song that has ministered to you. This one here ministered to me. You guys are more than welcome because the words should be up there if we don't have technical difficulty. You can either sit there and listen to it, let it wash over you, let it wash over your mind. You can sing it, whichever you want to do. It's the technology part that I like. That's why I brought paper notes, just in case. I was going to have Bob sing it if it didn't work. Thank you.
ground. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple, let your power.
closing, I'm reminded of Joshua and the task that they were called to go into the land and take possession. That was a pretty noble task. God had been going before them all through the desert, providing for them. And there was a report that was given, a report that was brought back from that land. There was actually two reports. One brought fear into the camp, brought unbelief that God would continue to go before them, that they'd rather stay in that desert and die. Some longed to go back to their bondage in Egypt. That's how fearful they got, because it was going to cost some of them their lives. It was going to cost you. It cost you to get into the fight. But it cost you big time not to get into the fight. It cost big time not to get into the fight. Don't let God raise up just the next generation. Be the one to lead them in. Be the one to lead them in. He goes before us. Let us remember our Father. Let us remember Jesus Christ and the power that lives and dwells in us. If those things have tried to come upon you, the unbelief, the doubt, if there's been things that's tried to oppress you, it's time to turn around and tear them strongholds down. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up. You know, I come under just a little bit of an attack because God wanted me to be just a little bit bold to lead a charge. I'm like, you got the wrong guy. I remember being 15 saying that. You got the wrong guy. This person should be leading that charge. That person needs to be doing this. They'd be great at it. And he's like, listen, I've chosen you. He's still telling me that, still reminding me of that. That he chose me. He chose you, Rick. He chose you, Matt. He chose you, Kevin. He chose you, Sammy. He chose you, Michael. He chose each and every one of us. And he paid the price so that we could be victorious right alongside of him. Right, Doris? Victorious. Right, Wes? That's what I'm talking about. When I first heard that, I was upset. I was upset. Who does he think he is to come into God's camp and start stealing from my brothers and sisters? Who does he think he is? It's because of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within me that I'm able to put him underneath my feet. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done for me. Make no mistake about it, he done it for you too. So let's close in prayer. I'd invite each and every one of you, if you want, to come up front in your prayer. If not now, grab somebody. Get some prayer. Tear down a stronghold. Have some fun. Have some fun putting the devil underneath your feet where he belongs. But make no mistake about it, it's a campaign because he's going to want to rise back up. It's like that gum stuck to the bottom of your shoe. Make sure he's still there. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, for who you are, Lord God. We thank you for what it is that you've done, Lord God. That you made a way for us, Father God. Not just to be saved, Father God, but to be victorious, Father God. And as your word says, Father God, that the storms of life, Father God, come against us. Our flesh rises up. The enemy comes against us. But as your word says, that you conquered the grave, that really there's nothing that can separate us from your love, Lord God. I ask that each and every one of us, Father God, would hear your word, Father God, and would act upon it, Father God. That it be deep within our spirits, Father God. That it would compel us, Father God, Compel us to move forward, Father God. Compel us to take that ground, Father God, that was stolen from us, that was stolen from you, Father God. Compel us to take back what the enemy's taken, Father God. Give us the courage to get into the fight, to stay in the fight, Father God. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. We got coffee and donuts upstairs for fellowship.